Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. It's been a wonderful moment in the presence of God. We love South Africa. We love South Africa. And we trust God this morning to be able to access His mind so that every one of us will be equipped by the present revelation position of the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we magnify your name and we exalt you. And we ask today that you cause our hearts to be able to find your counsel so that we may be strengthened thereby. Grant utterance, grant precision in the Spirit, that your glory might be made manifest, that all eyes might see and worship at your feet. We ask, O God, that your blessings be on Kingdom Embassy and the ministers over this great house. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. All right, turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. We'll begin our reading from verse number 11. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I think that's enough reading for the morning. Amen. And he gave some apostles. Didn't give all, but he gave some apostles. Gave some to be prophets. And the purpose for which he gave these offices are unveiled in Scripture. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. If you click on that word on the lexicon, perfecting, you'll find out that what Scriptures mean by perfecting is maturing of the saints. When we say the saints are matured, we are saying that the people of God have been instructed to know how to live by the deposit of Christ that is in their spirit. They are no longer living, hallelujah, they are no longer living from their natural capacities, but their life is an expression of the deposit of God's spiritual capital upon their lives. You see, it's needful for us to understand the vision that God had when He saved us. Are you still with me? He had a vision in mind. He was offering us something that is highly qualitative. An And until we know the vision that was upon the heart of God, upon the mind of God, we will live below that expectation. Now, I want to find out again, I am hearing a sound. Is it coming from this hall? From the company outside. Okay. All right. Are you still with me? Now, so if you check Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 very carefully, you will realize that the fivefold ministry offices are equipment offices. And the reason why God is investing in equipment is because the general capacity of the body of Christ in a certain territory is going to be dependent upon the kind of equipment that is made available. For instance, in the nation of South Africa, we have so many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, our impact on the territory is very minimal because of the kind of equipment we have been subjected to. The other day we went to the United Kingdom and I was I told them, do you have an army in the United Kingdom? They said they do. Is your army a competent army? So yes, it's renowned for its capacity. Then I told them that if you could raise an army in your nation, then you believers have no excuse being the way you are. But you see, the reason why the military turned out the way they did is because of the kind of capacity building programs that they subjected them to. And the reason why the church is the way it is because of the kind of capacity building programs that the church has been subjected to. So, the fundamental reason for which God instituted the offices is for equipment purposes. Now, so when I give my life to Christ, some other guys also give their lives to Christ. Fortunately for me, I had a calling on my life, which I did not know at the time. But because of the calling that I had on my life, I had accelerated growth. Not because I was more spiritual than the other guys, but the calling afforded me the privilege to come into a good measure of the grace of God. And the reason why God was interested in investing in my life and for me to grow that fast is because he wanted to bring me into capacity building services. So someone that has a calling into the fivefold ministry is likely to grow faster than someone that does not. And the reason why God makes that allocation of grace available is because he has capacity building services in mind. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? So, if you study your Bible, you will discover something about the apostles and the brethren. The Bible says that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. So you see the difference between the apostles and the other believers. What? Great grace. And God makes great grace available to fast-track their growth in him, fast-track their encounters in him, fast-track their knowledge of him in view of the capacity building services that they are intended to begin to offer to the members of the body of Christ. Are you still with me? How I wish I could stay with you people for 3 months. We just teaching the scriptures. After 3 months, you'll be amazed who you'll become. Not because I'm a great guy, but because the things that we are teaching are spiritual realities. And if you know how to operate them, you begin to see enhancements in your life, which is not a product of your education, but a product of the grace of God that has been unlocked on your vessel. You see, our visas are time-based, so we cannot stay long. But if I have the opportunity to stay long in South Africa, which is what I desire, I will prove to you that there's nothing wrong with you. Amen. Yes, nothing. Not wrong. Nothing wrong with you. The only thing that is lacking is adequate capacity building. And that's the reason for which it makes the fivefold ministers available. Now, there is a danger that God intends to forestall, for which he raises men that have the grace to build capacity in the body of Christ. There is a danger he is trying to forestall. So I'm going to show you the danger that God wants to forestall. That is, if the Lord allows. I'm still browsing. I don't know what God wants to say yet. So I'm still browsing, you know. I'll browse for a moment, for a time. And then when I lock on the heart of God and I know his will, I will now begin to build according to his prescription. You know, we are shepherds, but we are under shepherds. The ultimate shepherd is Christ himself. So we are building according to his prescription. We are not saying we know anything, no. We wait for him to show us a sign on what he wants to build. That's how the church is built. It's built by the influence in the spirit that he projects. So if you discern it, then you align with it, then he equips, energizes you with spirit and energized communication that has capacity to communicate the heart of God to the heart of man. That's how building takes place. Because you see, we are not the same. So one message will not be relevant for everybody. But if it is administered by the Spirit of God, it has as many meanings as there are people in this congregation. Hallelujah. So the first reason for which he made available the fivefold ministry offices is for capacity building. Because God wants to prepare each and every one of us for the work of the ministry. When you see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, you will now realize that from God's perspective, are you there? Because whenever we think of ministry, the average believer thinks that the guys that are in ministry are the people on the pulpit. So we are not in ministry. We are business people. We are not in ministry. Now, according to the scriptures, the Bible says that every believer has a ministry. And part of the duties of the fivefold ministry gifts is to prepare the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And so what I want to do today is to show you a spectrum of 9 possible ministries that are available for every believer that is in the body of Christ, so that no one will be able to make an excuse to say that, oh, we are not called into pulpit ministry. That's not all there is about ministry. And I need to reveal to you the ministry of the believer, because that is what we as fivefold ministers have been raised to equip the believers to be able to function in. If the believers don't know the ministry of the believer, it will be, our efforts will be without bearing. Our efforts will not be precise. We'll just be preaching. And the preaching is not measurable, because we do not have a goal for our preaching. Every preaching is supposed to have a goal. Every form of education that we make available has a goal. And you can see in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 that God also has a goal for which he wants his people to be equipped. And that's the reason why he made superfluous grace available to install offices in the body of Christ, diversities of gifts, so that his people can have different dimensions of equipping and education that will wire them for kingdom service. All right? So we'll take a moment of time to explore the ministry of the believer. Is that clear? The ministry of the believer. And as we begin to explore these items, because this is the last session, I will not rush. I will not preach. I will teach. I will just be very, very calm. Very calm, so that you can follow me. And if the plans we have work out, and we can have the necessary documents to be in SA for much longer, then we will do a marathon. A marathon. If you are exposed to the Word of God, you'll be changed. I assure you. You will be transformed. Okay, so hallelujah. Can we check verse 12? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. So this is the goal of the efforts of the fivefold ministry gifts. The first goal is for the maturing of the saints. The second goal is for the work of the ministry. Third goal is for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all our efforts as pastors, all our efforts as evangelists, and it will interest you to know that according to this scripture, because if I ask you what is the duty of an evangelist, you will say to win souls. That's what you will say. Or will anybody say anything different from that? All right. That means the ministry of the evangelist is cut out for the world. But that's not what is written in the Bible here. The evangelist is one of those officers that God has put in the body of Christ to perfect the saints. It's just that because of the grace of the evangelist on his life, what he will be teaching the saints about is the urgency that is needed for the church to become involved in soul winning. Are you there? Yeah. So that's his own dimension of strength, because I know that you have you won any soul since I know you have not won any soul since January, and part of the reason why you have not won any soul since January is because you've not met an evangelist in a long time. Because if you meet an evangelist, his body, the anointing, the way it works on him is souls. So the education he's likely to bring to you is that education that will make you equipped to be able to engage people about your faith when you are in the marketplace, in school, when you are in your business area. So you see, the strength of every congregation, it will be determined by the texture of ministry gifts that they're exposed to. Are you there? Oh, you are not there. So the evangelist is equipped to win souls, yes? But there is a more primary function of an evangelist which is captured in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 here. And that line of duty has to do with capacity building. Give me verse 12 on the screen. So this is what we do. We mature the saints. The moment you gave your life to Christ, God invested in your life. And the investment that God brought on your life is spiritual. And the name of the investment is a measure of his spirit. So a measure of the spirit of God is operational in your life. It's supposed to be your driving force. It's supposed to be your operating system. That measure of the Spirit that was invested in you on the account of your salvation is supposed to be the tool by which your life is animated. Are you there? You are not there. All right. If you know, if you are taught how to exercise your spirit, if you are taught how to take advantage of that investment, you will begin to grow in your capacity of utilization. Your capacity utilization will begin to, that be the things you will need the Holy Ghost to accomplish. Huh? Your capacity, your use of that investment will begin to grow. For instance, it's not natural to hear God. It is supernatural to hear God. But if you know how to use that investment that God has placed upon your life, you will find out that hearing God for you can become natural. For me now, it looks natural for me to hear God. If I want to hear God now and bring the mind of God, it's very easy. It will take 5 minutes. It is because of my use of the investment has given me possibilities in my life that is not human. Do you understand that? But if you don't know how to use the investment, the Holy Ghost will be sitting in your spirit man, and you will be living your life by the strength of your flesh. And in the flesh, you can only attain to your least potential. It's in the spirit that you can attain to your greatest potential. So the flesh and the spirit, they are two realities that simultaneously exist. All right? But what you yield to is what determines how your life turns out. So part of what our duty is to mature you in the use of this investment that God has made on your life on the account of your regeneration. If I pick you now, sister, at random, and I ask you a question, what is the experience of having a vision? You see, this question is not an intellectual question, it's not a mind question, it's an experiential question. If she has never had a vision before, she cannot answer that question. The reason why God gave us the Holy Ghost is so that we can experience God. Are you there? So that the Bible will no longer be a storybook. The Bible will be a book of witness that tells you, like when you experience God, there are some scriptures that you will now understand because scriptures were written from experiential perspective. There will be letters that can kill if you do not have the experience of the thing and all you have is just a mental accent of the thing. When you now have an experience of some things, you will now find that, oh, this is what the scripture is saying. That means you need to go from carnal knowledge to experiential knowledge in order for you to find scriptures that bear witness of your experience. Are you there? The scriptures are going to be writings that you cannot relate with in your daily life until you begin to experience the Holy Ghost. Then you will find that these scriptures bear witness of those experiences. So I was asking our sister, what is the experience of having a vision? If she has never experienced that, she cannot say it. It means that the capacity of the Holy Spirit can actually give you visions, because the language of the Spirit is different from the language of the natural. Part of the language of the Spirit are visions. That's how the Spirit talks. You still following what I'm talking about? Part of the language of the Spirit are impressions. That's how the Spirit talks. If you are not trained, you will not know that an impression is a complete communication. You will be expecting the Holy Spirit to come with a voice. Because your idea of communication is limited to voices. But it will interest you to know that the first time words were used in the Bible, it was not used for communication, it was used for creation. See, the shape of things in the spirit realm is different from how it is in the natural. So you will need to be trained so that you can come to the place of maturity where you can take full advantage of the investment that God has placed on your life. Are you still there? You see, I'm beginning to understand the mind of God now. So what we are going to do this morning is the maturing of the saints. I'm going to show you the step-by-step procedures. Step-by-step procedures that you need to be acquainted with if you are going to deal with a God that is spirit. Are you there? God is spirit. So it's not flesh, he's not blood. And you will need to be introduced to him afresh as spirit so that you can recognize him when he moves over your heart. The problem with the believer is that he doesn't have the capacity to discern God. It's not as if God is not trying to catch his attention. But he seems not to have the capacity to discern God because he has not yet been instructed about the ways of God and the experience of God. Come with me to the book of Job. God. Where is this scripture? Give me Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Are you there? Are you in Job 42 already? All right, so let's begin from verse 5. Job chapter 42 from verse number 5. If you have arrived at that point, say amen. Amen. Job 42 verse 5. It says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. That's the kind of thing that happens when we come to church. Pastor preaches, and we hear of him by the hearing of the ear. But that's not all. If you are going to deal with God, you must go beyond the hearing of the ear. The hearing of the ear is informative. But the knowledge of God is experiential. You have not heard me. I said the hearing of the ear is what? It's informative, but the knowledge of God is experiential. So, you see, if you are going to know God, you are going to experience him. And that's the reason why God made a location for us to have the Spirit of God in us, so that each and every one of us will be capable of experiences in God. The knowledge of God is experiential. That's what the Greek calls epignosis. Such knowledge that is revealed through experience. Are you there?
For instance, the Bible will say stuff like this. And Adam knew his wife and she conceived. That knowledge of his wife is experiential. Right? So we can never know God except we have experience of him. And so Job is saying that I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He has gone from hearing of God, hearing about God, to experiencing God. And these two sets of people are not on the same level. So I want to take you on a journey on the issue of the experience of God. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Are you there? Now my eyes, my heart, the eyes of my understanding have been opened to see you because I've had an experience of you. You see, you may hear about God, and the fact that you heard about God doesn't bring you to a point where you can achieve anything that you intend to achieve with the grace of God just by hearing God, about God. It is when you know God experientially, that knowledge is currency for you. That knowledge is a basis of assurance for you. And in the realm of the spirit, assurance is part of our currency. You have that assurance because there is a knowledge that you have gotten by reason of your experience of God, and that assurance becomes currency. It will become a part that will pad your faith and make you more concrete in the matter of exercising your faith. If you are still with me, say amen. Now, so because it is the Holy Spirit that is the member of the Godhead that is seated within our hearts, our experiences are going to come through the Holy Spirit. It's just like you have a lecturer. Maybe Baloyi is one of our lecturers. Pastor Jimmy is another lecturer. If we know his own style of lecturing, we can pass his course because we know what he wants. And what he wants may be different from what Pastor Jimmy wants. So the way I relate with Pastor Jimmy, in order for me to get my pass marks, will be different from the way I relate with him, because I know what he wants, I also know what he wants, and they do not want the same thing. See, the ministry of Jesus is a bit different from the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And I'd like to draw your understanding to that, because if we are going to have experiences of God, then we need to know the approach by which the Holy Spirit furnishes God and furnishes the understanding of God in the lives of men. Now, in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 12, we are moving from hearing to experience. That's the title of the sermon, migrating from hearing about God into experiencing God. This is Jesus speaking about a new regime that is going to be established in the economy of God. And Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now listen to me. I thought Jesus said that he had so many things to share with us, but we don't have the capacity to bear the things that he wants to share with us. I thought that was what he said. Is that what he said? Okay. That means, if Jesus were the one teaching us this morning, even though Jesus has a revelation The fact that he has a revelation doesn't guarantee that he will share it. Because Jesus will first test your capacity to bear. First, your capacity to handle the revelation he wants to give. And even though his spirit is fired up with that revelation, and upon analysis he discovers that you don't have the capacity to bear the things he wants to say, Jesus will prefer to keep mute. Yes. Is there? Okay, let me give you an idea. There's this prophet in Nigeria, a genuine prophet. And because of how powerful he is in his gifts, so many people come to consult him. Even nations send their representatives to consult him so that they can check and tell them the mind of God. So he is highly patronized. And because of that, he put a very, very strong protocol around seeing him. You go for the first screening. When you survive that screening, you will be given a slip. Feel it all out. And then you are admitted into the second screening. If you survive that screening, you'll be given another slip. Then you fill it out too. And then you now come for the last screening. And the last screening will be done by his personal assistant. The guy will just show up. And if your face doesn't look... So there's no way you can prepare for the last screening. You cannot. There's no way you can prepare for. So he'll just say, No. You shouldn't be seeing a man like this. You shouldn't be seeing... So there was this woman, she survived the first screening, she survived the second screening, and then got into the final PA level screening, and she failed. Then she started again from the first, second, and got there, final one again, and failed. So she was frustrated and said, men of God are all fake people. You can't, it's easier to meet Jesus than to meet men of God. You know, those kind of things. So, well, I don't know the reason for the protocol, but I can say in my little experience in ministry that people normally abuse access to anointed people. Even if you want to be so simple, you just find people that will just capitalize on your simplicity to insult you. So I don't blame any minister that puts protocol around, because you don't know what they have suffered. So you shouldn't judge them too quickly. And the fact that someone has protocol around does not mean that he's a complicated person. You know, somebody heard me preach on Thursday. That was a flow that came. I was speaking from my office as an apostle, the body of Christ. And part of the duties of the apostle is that we bring order. When people begin to do things that are extra scriptural, demons are going to enter in. So we need people that have authority to be able to strike the balance and to show clearly, you know, how divine things are administered. So I preached. It was hot. In fact, you need to listen to that sermon. Then a pastor that came for our own conference here, he's a pastor, so he has gone for his service, was opportune to see me in the lobby. So when he saw me in the lobby, he couldn't but say that, you are not a complex man. Because his wife had told him after that service that, hey, it's very difficult to be under this kind of man, you know? Just see me from the pulpit. But when he now saw me in the office, he now discovered that who I am on the pulpit is not who I am as a man. Yes, and that's the truth. The guy you will meet as a man, if you ever meet me closely, you'll be amazed of the guy that you'll meet. But you see, our temperaments, your office has its temperament. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you, as it came upon Saul in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and thou shalt be changed into another man. So when that crown anointing comes upon me, I'm changed. But that's not how I am on the ground. But she said, the way this man is, nobody can work with him. He is, oh my God, Jesus. Okay. All right? So, as I was saying, so the guy had this protocol around him. The woman tried twice and could not get across, and then she just felt bad and left. She sells by the roadside, all right? So one of those days, this prophet was in transit and he had a flat tire and they had to park in front of her shop. And God planned that the PA that normally screens her face out was not present on that trip. So the time for which the driver will change the flat tire and replace it with a spare tire, the prophet was just strolling on the road and the woman just ran to him and knelt down and said, "Oh." The moment the woman touched his leg, the man picked her problem. He said, "Your mother is responsible for your problem." So it cannot be my mother. Because the mother is the one that is taking her from church to church for prayer. Meanwhile, the mother is an ancient witch and they demanded that she brings some of her clothing, the clothing of her daughter, and they used that to tie her in the coven. And that was supposed to afford her a higher rank in the witchcraft world. So he gave her that information. She did not believe. So he went deeper and called everybody's name. All the people involved in this drama, he called their names. "Do you know this person? Do you know this person? Do you know this person? This person that you know took this to this person. This is how this one, this is how." Because the revelation, she was still doubting. "Oh," he said, "no problem." He went deeper again and said, "Do you know this? Your uncle that is called this, whose son died on this day, he died at the age of 18. So she knew that this guy knew what he was talking about. But before the prophet could tell the lady how to use that revelation, the driver had finished swapping the tires. So she was equipped with revelation. Revelation that she could not handle. And that revelation, which is every revelation that God gives, has a redemptive tone on it. But because she could not bear the revelation, that revelation became the basis of a civil war that it would take Jesus himself to come and quell. So obviously, the prophet did not check if the woman had the capacity to handle the revelations before he began to give the revelations. If it were Jesus, Jesus would never give her those revelations, even if he had it. Because according to the book of John chapter 16 verse 12, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now." Because you don't have the capacity to bear that which Jesus wants to say, are you with me? He will not tell you. Because anything you do with it that you don't have the capacity to bear it would be wrong. But Jesus said, "How be it? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." You know, I asked you a question. I said, didn't Jesus say, "I have things to tell you, I have things to say to you, that your capacity is denying me the opportunity of saying?" Didn't he say that? So I was expecting that when the Holy Spirit comes, what he will do is to start saying what Jesus couldn't say. Think about it. But when he comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't come saying. So there's a difference in the approach of Jesus and in the approach of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' teaching aid is by saying. But the Holy Spirit is by experiencing. Jesus will say to you, but the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do, he will not say anything. He'll just bring you into the experience, and then you will become the ones to say it. That's the first difference. Oh, you're not with me. Now, you see, I told you that I won't rush. I want to teach so that everyone will understand what I'm talking about. And then when we begin the practical session, oh my God, you will now say, oh. And in the practical session, I'm not doing what I'm going to be doing because I'm an apostle. I'm doing what I'm going to be doing because I'm a believer. It means every believer can operate like that if you are educated enough to know how to handle these realities. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So when the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible says he will guide you into all truth. So he will come and take a hold of you like this. And then he will move you from where you are and bring you into the place of experience. Experience is not cerebral. Experience is not mental. Experience is the only avenue through which we can know God. So you can now relate with what Job said when he said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see it thee. So that's the first thing I need to bring to your notice about the style of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? Give me that scripture. I've yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Next verse. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all aletheia. He will guide you into all spiritual reality. Are you there? So he guides you into the spiritual reality. Now, I think we can just stop there. Let me show you how he does that. If you know how the Holy Ghost can guide you into the center of spiritual reality, then there are many advantages that you are going to have over and above your equals. Many advantages. I came to tell you that if you know how to walk with the Holy Spirit, you are going to experience the highest levels of enhancement. Highest level. And as an expert in the oil industry, I was enhanced by the Holy Ghost. I'm not just talking about preaching. In my line of duty, I was enhanced beyond measure by the Holy Ghost. The results that were producing, it didn't come out of intelligence. It came out of the knowledge that I had of the Spirit of God. How the Spirit of God brings you into some experiences. So that's what I want to talk about now. Number one, there are basically three ways by which the Holy Spirit brings you into experience. Now, as I teach at this point, I will need enhancement from your instrument. Now, I don't need two people, just one. Okay? You look for a very gentle string sound and let the volume not be. All right. Maintain one progression, simple progression. We sang a song yesterday. Can you remember the song that we sang? The people in the choir. There's a song I was singing yesterday. Huh? From the rising of the sun to the setting, your name. So give me that progression. So sing to him, let him get it first before we move.
From the rising of the sun.
Are you sure you are singing on a convenient key?
Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai.
So maintain the progression but reduce the volume on your keyboard. So it was when I experienced God, one of those times when I encountered Jesus, that he now told me, he taught me many things. But one of the things he taught me was how to migrate from the office of the teacher to the office of the prophet. I am an apostle by calling, and that's by the grace of God, not because I'm better than you or even more spiritual than you, you know, just the grace of God. My calling as an apostle affords me the opportunity to be able to function in the fivefold ministry offices. But the thing is this, because of your calling, there's going to be one of the offices that you are strongest. You will not be strong in all of them at the same level. There's one of the offices that you're going to be strongest. And for me, that is the teaching office. So my entry point is always teaching. So the pastor I grew up under was a teacher. And that was why God arranged all of that. So I was exposed to the teaching first because God wanted that to be ahead of others. So, but you see, when I enter into the space, the teaching space, I can move from there to other spaces. So if the intention is to move into the prophetic, then I will need some. Now, this knowledge is not in any textbook. It came through experience. You understand that? So there are many things you are going to experience in the Holy Ghost. And I want to teach you how the Holy Spirit gives you experiences. You have a powerful mind. Your mind is powerful. But that's not where the Holy Ghost operates from. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move on your heart, your mind cannot even understand what he's doing, except he reveals what he's doing within your heart. The first way the Holy Spirit is going to bring you into experience is what we call an impression. An impression. When we say something is an impression, we also mean it is a knowing of revelation. A knowing of revelation. And I need to explain to, because littered across the entire New Testament is the concept of the knowing of revelation. Oh my, you are not with me. Okay, let me give you scriptures. I think with scriptures you'll be able to understand. Can you give me John chapter 13 verse 1? John chapter 13 verse 1. That's the first an impression or a knowing of revelation. A knowing of revelation. Now watch this. He said, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Yes? Next verse. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Next verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. The words I would like you to underline in your Bible is knowing, knew. Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world. Jesus knew that he was come from God and that he was going to God. That's the knowing of revelation. It's not a knowing that comes because you visit a library. It's not a knowing that comes because you attend a lecture. It's a knowing that comes because the Holy Spirit impresses that knowing upon your heart. It is a knowing that you know. You don't know how you know, but yet you know. And 70% of the communication of God is in this form. The knowing of what? Of revelation. When you begin to exercise your spirit in prayer, and that's why we encourage prayer a lot, especially in tongues. You move for 1 hour, you move for 2 hours, you move for... Hallelujah. One of the things that we'll be doing subsequently is prayer meetings. Where we pray for 5 hours. I assure you, if we bring the anointing down, you can pray for 5 hours without knowing it. It's a promise, don't worry. It's a promise. You will see. By the time we want to stop, you say, hey, what? Why are you stopping? What happened? You see, when you begin to exercise your spirit that way, what will happen is that your spirit will become capable of communicating with your soul. When you exercise your spirit will become capable of communicating with your soul. So what happens is the Holy Ghost in your spirit will communicate with your spirit and strengthen your spirit with might so that your spirit can communicate with your soul. And one of the most frequent ways by which your spirit will communicate with your soul, being energized by the Holy Ghost, is the knowing of revelation. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Jesus knew that he had come from God. Jesus knew that he was going back to God. So my question to you is, what do you know by the Holy Ghost? What do you know? Because I told you yesterday that I know how long I will live. He knew. So you might take a gun, you say you want to kill me. If that time has not reached, I know it won't work. You can't take me out because you did not bring me here. I'm not in your service, so you can't sack me. I belong to another, and it is not my responsibility to protect myself. He knows how to protect me because I'm serving his will. The reason why people hate me is because of what he has assigned me to do. So he also has ways of keeping me alive. I speak this way because I know. I know. Warlocks have been sent to take me out. They are story. Eh? They regret it till tomorrow. That's the ones that survived. I know. And I don't know because I read the book. I don't know because I sat before a lecturer. I know because the Holy Spirit impressed it upon my heart. Jesus knew. There's this guy, this preacher. He likes me a lot. He likes me. Oh my God. But so he now said, oh, the way I like you. I actually know he likes me. But you know what? He said, the only thing I don't like is your holiness. So you will know that one is just a fan. He doesn't have a knowing. So he's just liking me emotionally. The real love of destiny is not emotional. It's a knowing. Even if I don't call my wife for 3 days, she knows I love her. If you need to call her in order to convince her, there's no knowing. There's no knowing. But I'm not saying I'm teaching on knowing. Please call, but wait. My own personal experience and my own encounters are not doctrines. Now, stay with me. You are not following me. My personal experience and my personal encounters are not doctrines. I'm not imposing it on you. It's not the word of God. This is my own experience. I'm just telling you my own testimony. And I'm humbly sharing my testimony with you. There are days that go by on the mission field. I'm so engrossed on the mission that I don't call. And she knows that is not because I don't care. She has that knowing. So I've been relieved of so many things because of that knowing. Life becomes better, stronger when there are knowings. Yeah, when there are knowings. You think, oh my God, you don't struggle with little things and trivial things. It's when the knowings are not there, you need to walk, you labor, because there is no knowing. I know there are billions of women in the world, but I know that that woman that I'm with is the best for me that God created among all the options. I know it. So you might have a slim waist and a very, you know, good height and all of, I don't desire you, because I have a knowing that this one is the one that is best for me. As beautiful as you are, if we bring you in, you will destroy everything. You will destroy everything. Hey. Because when a strange moment of warfare comes, you will wake up in the night and see me doing like this. For 21 nights, you will touch the bed like this. It's empty. Because I'm fighting for you to survive. But I will not tell you. It's only that woman that in all of those things, she likes those things. If it's another one, she'll just start crying and say, oh, because there's no knowing. He knew that his hour had come. He knew it. That his hour had come that he should depart out of this world. Those days when I was still in the industry, in the petroleum industry, we had one manager. The guy comes, the moment he comes, he shouts on everybody, you will not be promoted. Oh my God, you. But I knew that I would be promoted. So he shouts. He didn't strike any chord. So he noticed that I was not afraid of him. And he's a very stubborn man. So he came and looked me in the face and said, I will do what you don't know what. When 1 month before the time that they were supposed to grade us, because he's going to grade me, and if he grades me poorly, they will not promote me. So 1 month before the time that they will grade me, they took him away. It's not that important. What is important is your knowing. There are some people that cannot threaten you if only you had what? A knowing. Now, Jesus knew that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. You can't break Jesus. If you use the Roman scourge too, he knows that if he dies, he's going back to God. How can you break a man that knows? They took away Joseph's coat of many colors, but there was something they could never take away. And that was what he saw in the spirit. You can't mess up with us. Your efforts will only push us into our destiny. The reason is because we have had an experience. And that experience furnished a knowing in our heart. So if people want to attack you, you know what you do? Go into prayer. And stay there until the Holy Spirit begins to communicate with your spirit. And it empowers your spirit to communicate with your soul. The moment the knowing hits, you are a victor. Victor. It's the knowing of revelation. Did you get it to that point? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For the which cause I do suffer the things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Why is he not ashamed? For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This was a man that they were they put in public sight and flog him. He said, the reason why I'm not ashamed is because I know him whom I am believed. People's activity, people's wickedness, people's evil can change you if you have no knowing. It is possible for the fact that some family members, the extended family, stepbrothers, stepsisters, to hate you with passion, and because of their hatred, you too, you now hate them and hate their children. So it will now become transgenerational. But there is a knowing you can have, their hatred will amount to nothing. A man that has an experience is not at the mercy of a man that has an argument. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Today, a man that is going to heaven knows it. Yes. He knows it. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm not afraid of death. I know that I'm with him. Do you understand that? Your security is in your knowing. What will take fear away from you is your knowing. What will make it impossible for people that hate you to influence you is your knowing. So, can I tell you that you are naked if you have no knowing? This guy was suffering persecution, but he said, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed for me. I'm okay. Because I know whom I have believed. Because I was radical about my faith, preaching the gospel, so many people in my family did not like me. And that was visible when I was about to get married. They did not support me. But I knew that they would not support me 2 years before my marriage. So I began to save. When I saved, those days the naira had value. So I saved 1,000,000 naira for my wedding ceremony. Few days, few weeks to my wedding, we now saw a land. A land came out in an impossible place. And we needed to buy that land for the ministry. So I announced and said, okay, let's make contributions. This land just came out. We have verified it from the lands unit. And it is genuine. As I was making that announcement, Jesus spoke to me and said, you know that money you have saved? Do you know how I was saving that money? That money you have saved, that's part of the money that I made available for this land. So my savings was for your land, not for my wedding. So I say, let it be on record that this is the only time I will say no to you. Just put it there and say, it's no. We are not always right, huh? We are not always perfect. So this is one of the times I choose not to be right. Please forgive me, but no. But he will not let me go. He troubled me. I was dreams, all kinds of stuff. I said, okay. Now, okay. The reason why I'm giving this money is because you are stronger than me. Not because I'm willing. I'm not willing to give. So I now took the money and I gave him. For 2 weeks, I was still grumbling. It was after 2 weeks that he now showed me how sickly I was when I was a little baby, and that it was him that delivered me from death. So if I had died that time, we would not be arguing about money now. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The moment I said, I'm sorry, you know what he did? He gave me a knowing that my wedding, the whole cost is already covered. I received that knowing. So, my in-laws called me and said, all right, this is the kind of clothes we wear because they are from the West. They are different from us. Their culture is different. They are the most educated among us, among Nigerians. So they know good things. So the clothes I was supposed to buy are expensive. They now brought some options. I said, choose the costliest. They now chose that. I had no money. Which one is the best that is in cost? I say, is this one. How much is it? For him, for her, for me, for one, for this one, for this one. Calculated it. I said, okay. And when I get back, I'll pay. And I was saying all of that on the strength of what? A knowing. Now, when I got back, guess what happened? You know, in the oil industry, we have unions. We that are senior staff, we have our union. So members of our union now found a document that revealed that a certain percentage of our salary was diverted. So our union, we were going to protest. Serious protest that we make the government sack all of our... They say, and they refunded that money. It was the same price as the price of those clothes. I paid them. Then, we now had another meeting. They now said, these are the items we need for the wedding. I asked them to give me any of the items that they want. That it will be... So when they gave me the items, I guess what I was supposed to pay was like 700 and something thousand. I said, make it 1 million. Just round it up. Don't even worry about it. Just round it up. It will be done. And I was saying that based on what? When I got back again, the union discovered another document. We were now... When they did the calculations, it took like 2 days for them to do the calculation. We were. Then when they finished, it was exactly at amount. God was speaking to me. He deliberately made the amount to be exact because he was telling me that I can take care of you. I can handle your affairs. Your life is too small to shake me. I paid. And when I paid, it means the wedding was complete. We now went for the wedding. They gave me a car in that wedding. Fully air conditioned. The one I bought for myself that time had no air condition. This one had. The cost of that car is more than that my money that I saved. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? The money that I saved, for which I was feeling I was ready. And that money that I saved eventually was not enough to take care of the wedding. Then I found out that faith was a better currency than money. There are other issues I would have raised, that is other channels through which the Holy Spirit can give you experience. But I'm going to stop here. Now, the knowing of revelation. That was how my journey of faith began. God convinced me that he was able to take care of me. And that sign of knowing you have in your spirit is a sign that there will be no storm. It's a sign that there will be no lack. It's a sign that there will be no defeat. It's a sign that there will be no loss. The knowing of revelation. We are going to pray today and say, Lord, educate me in the spirit. Give me what it takes to be able to trust in you. Can we pray that prayer in a moment? Educate me. Give me what it takes to be able to trust you. Give me what it takes to be able to depend on you. Give me what it takes to be able to stand with you. Give me what it takes to be strengthened. To be strengthened. To be strengthened by your spirit. By your spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give me what it takes. Give me what it takes. Give me what it takes. Kusa ambela maike. Kusa sela kopre mene katala. Meso sila kadia. Izgo balatua kanske lomena. Eso salabrante. Kuria babama haya. Babre huse heze kabrenda baburia. La prakatala ziko bramena kazelia. Anso kedi basanto. Eko be. Jamalantoria. Iko skanda baseminaira. Jakisko teri mahabri huzantere. Iko mahasi. Iko mahasi. Iko menabraska. Haske tomia. Eso bela. Branda babosketa. Iko babaita. Ezure heskonde bela. Buda mansalite. Eka baito santoria. Eka semina taliba. Kande broske teria. Azusa hantelia. Amandos gove la vida casquetonde. Yekasa saliko branda baboria. Lekia bansamba. Lando robo secotele. Yatobela. Igos cambra halakade. Ezose na hantele. Akais combale. Eka praska tala babode gabatala. Igo bramenatela. Asonde kese. Azika branda babole casque. Abracaso de masantelia. Iko bela, iando robo satele, iando robo sebrosketa, iando robo santoria, mahante isko prema handa la baboda kaske. And the Lord will give you grace to trust the knowings that the Holy Ghost furnishes on your heart. That the Lord will give you grace, grace to trust. That knowing, that quiet knowing, that quiet knowing that he will give you grace to trust it. He will give you grace to rely on it. He will give you grace to depend on it. God is dependable. God is reliable. God can be trusted. God never fails. You can believe him. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He is able. 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 Come and see Amahande. Robina Kosketo Bondo. Haila no meke sanala. Piroma siko prenda elakide. Zovelaiko. Ambrescutela bandeli. Akabanse sole brusca. Bricofale mandelia. Rados. 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 Agados. Eliados. Brisana ecobeli. Lescombresco vela bandola. Aminakedia. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He is dependable. He is reliable. Yeah. Come in, I pay. Labra do cosecana mamaya tolo. Peri maselite. Santo com mamata cade. Aika masonde. Ale masonde. Ale masakatalia.
I come in Okonde. Oh, 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 He came in a Konde. He came in a Salema. He came in a Salema. Ela Haila. You can trust him. You can depend on him. He's bigger than your fears. Bigger than your troubles, bigger than your situation, bigger than your circumstances. He strengthens you with might. By his spirit in your inner man. Oh! 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 Yeah! Yeah!
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray a prayer for you. It's going to be a brief prayer, very short, but very powerful. And the prayer is this, that your spiritual senses will become active, making it easy for you to receive from God. Before danger will come, you will see it. Before enemies rise, you will see it. To become wise by the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for this beautiful morning and for this sweet presence that you have made available to us in this service. Oh my God. I ask, oh God, that your anointing will come upon your people and that their spiritual senses will be activated, that it will be easy to perceive your mind, that it will be easy to perceive your spirit. Let the anointing that activates in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let that anointing go to work right now, right now, right now, right now. Let perceptions in the spirit be open. Let sight in the spirit be open. In the name of Jesus, let everyone have the capacity to identify you when you begin to move upon their hearts. In the name of Jesus. Let your eyes in the spirit be open. Let your ears in the spirit be open. Let your understanding in the spirit be open. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every limitation of the enemy that has been cast on your life, we come against it, we destroy it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let a new season open up for your life. Let a new season come around your destiny. Be open. 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 Be open in the name of Jesus. Yes, the anointing is intensifying. It's becoming stronger because God is opening your spirit. There is an opening that is taking place. Abraminesiko bela kundami. Kobresko vela mendele. Kuvalis ovelamor. Ielos kendele. Iscovela mandeli. Roskevo selimanda. Be open. Be open. Be open.
be opened in the name of Jesus. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. Let the sicknesses be rolled away. Let the diseases be rolled away. Be open. Let the limitations cease. Be open. Let the land open to your life, open to your destiny. I speak to your business. I say, be open. Be open. Your company, be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. Yeah. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open in the name of Jesus. Be open. Everything about your life, the work of your hands, be open in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Be open. He will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. Because you have chosen him over and above everything else. In this season, he will make a way. 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 He will make a way for you. He will make a way. 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 He will make a way for you. I strengthen you in the name of Jesus. I strengthen you. I strengthen you because he will make a way. He will turn everything around. He will break the yoke. He will set at liberty them that are bound. He makes a way. He makes a way. He makes a way. He makes a way. Nothing will stand in his way. That which he wants to do in your life, it will be accomplished. I prophesy over your destiny. He will make a way. Oh, 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 make a way. He will open up that which is closed. He will revive that which is dead. He will make rivers in the desert. He will make a way in the wilderness. He will make a way for you. Grace. Grace will come upon your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He will make a way. That which is closed, He will open it. He will open it. He will open it. In the name of Jesus. He will open it. He will open it. He will open it. He will make a way. He will make a way. He will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. In the name of Jesus. Escufela mi. Rescofetia bolsa ne cabobosa telahi. Ambroco se compre elecuria babaracasque. Busque la ba. Go in this your might. Let the sons of strangers favor you. Let men you have never known stand and build with you. Oh, you are coming out of the hiding place. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For Gentiles will come into your light. Wait. And kings. Come. Into the brightness of your eyes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you look kindly on your servant. Increase him. Bless him. In Jesus' name. He will make a way. Jesus. I make demands on the office of the call. I make demands on the inheritance that I have gotten from my fathers.
I make demands on the anointing. I make demands on heaven. I make demands on the voices of intercession that have been raised in this time to accomplish your agenda. And by them, I anoint you. Let grace, strength, wisdom come upon your life. I bless you with the same blessings wherewith I was blessed and brought into the ministry. I present you to the Lord Jesus Christ, that his hand might rest upon you, that his spirit might overwhelm you, even in your business, your endeavors. Let there be a boom, a break. Oosh. Oosh. I see him rising from the ground. Chikabole mehesi abonda. He rises from the ground. Sakombre hele kedo. Kibobe nasiko brabe nakade. Hey. I decree that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I contemn every tongue that rises against you in the name of Jesus. From today, you are changed into another man. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're going to speak in tongues for 2 minutes before, so just to check if there's anything I forgot. For 2 minutes. We'll speak in tongues for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you can, you may be seated. All the ushers come. You've been laboring for days, so let me not forget you. All the ushers this way. You also have your portion. Amen. Okay, let's do it this way. You come up here. Come up so that nobody will be injured. Come up here. You've been laboring. Yeah. this out of the way. So what I will do, I just touch you here on your head, just a little touch, okay? Little touch on your head here. Just a little. Just a little touch. Just a little. Just a little touch on your head. Just a little touch on your head. Little touch. There's a little touch there. If you traveled in from another nation to come for this series of meetings, just rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Because you are not going back the same. You are going back changed. You are going back changed. Going back changed. You came in from another nation. So right where you're standing, we'll ask the Lord to deposit a fresh anointing on you. For some of you will fall to the ground, some others will not, but everyone will receive the impartation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you anoint these ones that came from other nations, anoint them with a fiery anointing. As they're going back, give them the ability to accomplish for you things that they have not been able to accomplish before this time, in the name of Jesus. So the anointing is coming now. The anointing is coming. Coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming. Yes, it's coming on you. You are going back refreshed, going back changed. There's a transformation. Come, two of you. It's a transformation taking place. You're going back to Kenya with the grace of God. Going back to anywhere you came from. The hand of God is upon you. It strengthens you to do His will in your land, in your nation. I bless you. I bless you. You will remember this day. Is this medicated? Take it out. Give her sight. 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 In the name of Jesus. Where's the second one? Go back in the grace of God. Go back in the glory of God. Let the yoke break from off you in the name of Jesus. Every tree that the Lord has not planted, let it be rooted out. I break that demonic yoke on your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So you will go in this your might. Hallelujah. So before I drop the microphone, I want to say that we found our brothers in South Africa. I'm talking about my friend, Pastor Jimmy, and his wife. Wonderful people. We've enjoyed our stay here. And with what we have seen, we are encouraged to come back again. We trust the Lord. If we have the documents, we'll be back by December. God bless you.
Let's go to the front.